The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it, it's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl. It's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Welcome back. You are on with the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I am your host, Charlie Smith, joined with me by Terry Cushman Jr. Terry, tough loss today. The Red Sox dropped this one 5-3 to the Blue Jays after a 15-1 romping yesterday. What is your first takeaway from this game? Or a couple of takeaways, because I've got a couple.
Walker Buehler has an ERA in the first inning over 10, gets thumped every time. And you just have to wonder, I mean, this is his fourth or fifth straight bad start. What are they doing in between games? Like, what's the plan? Because every fifth day he goes out there, and they don't have any answers. They haven't made any adjustments. Nothing's working. And he's quickly pitching his way off the team.
You know what's crazy is ever since that ejection, which happened against the Mets at home in late May, he's only had really one good start. Maybe two, you could call it that. Otherwise, you're looking at 5 earned against the Angels, 8 earned against the Mariners, 5 earned, 7 total runs against the Yankees, 5 earned against the Braves. And today was a step up from his last performance when he walked 7 over 4 innings. A very funky line. 5 earned on 3 hits, 4 innings, 7 walks, 3 punch outs. But the first inning for, I believe I heard that the first inning ERA for him was 9.29 or 10.19, something like that. That's kind of scary for your first inning, because if you're out of it in the first, I mean, similar to yesterday, like the Red Sox go up 3, they're up 3-0 pretty quickly. Then they score 3 runs the next couple of innings. Granted, a lot of them were done off of damage. Willy Abreu got the scoring started, did his thing, had another RBI not long after that. Story did some work. But you can't afford, this team cannot afford to go down 2-0, 3-0 in the first inning. I'd be curious to know, and I'm not looking at it right now, how many times the Red Sox have been down by 3 runs even before the second, third inning and come back and won that game. Your bullpen's taxed. You lost a reliever today. Who was it that went down? Was it Wilson? No.
Guerrero?
No, it was Kelly.
Oh, Kelly.
Kelly went down. He was kind of like stretching after he hit Jimenez in the it was like the wrist bone. And they're not sure if it was like the oblique or what, like back. He just didn't look comfy. He said he was okay. Alex Cora said no. Off he went. They brought in Bernie. He screamed something into his mask. We don't know what, or into his glove. It was just not fun. But this isn't a team that can survive by going down 3-0 so fast. And Buehler, to your point, has not pitched very well at all as of late. He's had quite a few clunkers, and that's like maybe one good start in his last 5-6. So we talk about Garrett Crochet being a must-win game, and we can't win on Crochet Day. Buehler's turning out to be a loss every fifth game, and that's tough, especially when you're trying to fight for relevance in being a buyer at the deadline. I don't know. Like, if you watch the pregame show, you got Lenny DiNardo, you've got Papelbon, who I thought would have been pretty aligned on just about everything. Papelbon felt one way, DiNardo felt another, and I'm sitting there like, are we, gents, like, I love you guys, but are we watching the same team here? Like, we're not trending in the right direction. You had steam. You won 6 in a row. You swept the Yankees. You kept them to 4 earned runs in 3 games. Since then, that 6-game set that you had, you blew it by losing 6 in a row. So that work that you put in, that's gone now. Now you're back to 3 games under 500, right where you were, if I'm not mistaken, before that 6-game win streak. So all that work, gone. And I'm not going to say that a 6-game, losing streak isn't out of the, possibility, the realm of possibilities for the rest of the season. Because we've already shown that we can't always win on Crochet Day. We've shown that our offense can be incredibly streaky. You know, you're losing by a couple runs, 3 runs, then you drop a 15 spot. Guys, if you looked at Bassett before he was pitching, he looked like he was going to keel over yesterday. He looked like he was going to throw up on the mound. He was not well. I don't know, I think Lou Merlone said something too. It just, he didn't look great. And so, yeah, we teed off on someone who's got 9 pitches in his arsenal who wasn't well. He was probably pitching at 40%, and he did his best, and the best wasn't good enough. His team didn't help him at all. But then you have a starter, Eric Lauer, who hasn't been, poor. He's been decent this year, as evidenced by his, 2.6 ERA after today. If you look at his last couple games, he hasn't been bad. And we did a little bit, but we couldn't do enough. And they were able to do more. So again, guys, I'm really like, I've been eating crow. Then I've doubled back and be like, nah, it's, this is a playoff team. No, it's not. Yes, it is again. No, it's not again. Like, here we are where the same things keep happening. You're starting to see those little bits and strokes of luck go the other direction with that, freak play. Narvaez probably saved a damning inning by throwing down to first to get that runner out. They tried to do the same thing to us. Ball popped in front of Vlady Guerrero Jr. He doesn't know where the ball is. The runners each advance 90 feet. You're at second and third with one out. Willy Abreu pops out, and then I forget who ended the inning, but they couldn't get a run across. I mean, you're talking about just small ball. Just do something with that. Just don't pop it up. All you have to do is don't strike out and don't pop out. Get them a chance to score a run. You couldn't do that. So this team is trending the wrong direction again. Anybody who thinks this is a playoff team right now, I would question how much baseball you're watching. This is brutal. They've got to work with Buehler, because to your point, Terry, you already said it. What are we doing in between starts for him? Yeah, you're not walking 7 guys. And I like Walker Buehler. I still, as bad as this one was, I still think he can turn it around. I hope he can bring us some of that magic that he's had earlier this year, even, where he was last year with the Dodgers in the World Series. Like, they don't win the World Series without Walker Buehler. How did that magic just completely evaporate? I've said it before with players like Trevor Story. You're dominant in April, you fall apart in May, you come back in June, you've had that resurgence. Walker Buehler's kind of having a really bad end of May and basic full month of June. How much longer can the Red Sox afford to wait before they have to say, you know what, we might have to put you in the bullpen and have a $21 million reliever because we have no other choice? we're teetering on that right now. You're three games under 500, where I didn't look at the standings. What are we, seven games out, seven and a half?
I don't have it up in front of me. We're three under for sure.
We're eight now. I just checked. We're eight. And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if the Yankees game is over. If the Yankees are done, yeah, it's eight. So at one point, correct me if I'm wrong, we were what, 10 and a half out, right? Or nine
something
and a half
like
out?
That. Something and then like we got to four and a half out.
You got it to four and a half. I was just going to say that, right? Four and a half. You've lost three and a half of those games in a week and a half of baseball. A week and a half. Can't do it.
So Buehler gives up the first two runs in the first inning, both solo shots. The first one to Addison Barger, who looks like a fantastic player, by the way, in the Blue Jays outfield. And then, of course, the one you mentioned to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Buehler then settled in and got the next 10 straight batters out.
Correct.
You know, some on contact. I think he only had a couple of strikeouts in there, but he got them out. And then two outs into the fourth inning, he just completely lost his mind and couldn't locate. There was a ball four. I forget who the batter was, but the ball was way up, like 2 feet up above the strike zone, and like just wasn't commanding. And if the Red Sox happened to win today, let's say we were a little more clutch in those last few innings, you really owe everything to Carlos Narvaez. He gets the party started with a solo home run. And then when Buehler was just not finding it, the bases were loaded. He'd walked at least one or two in. They were up by two at that point, and it just seemed like Narvaez knew he had to make something happen on the base pass. And three times he tried to pick off a runner that had too big of a lead. And on the third time he got the runner out at first base and the inning ended. That's what bailed Buehler out of what would have probably been an extremely catastrophic inning with Bo Bichette at the plate, who was having a very good series. Narvaez really did a good job keeping us in the game. And unfortunately, we had runners in scoring position. I saw one of the guys post game on Nesson. It wasn't Papelbon, it was someone else. But we lead the league in runners left on base. So yeah. We're the least clutch team. And yeah.
Now, I mean, it'd be really bad if you traded probably your best hitter since David Ortiz, too. So imagine if you did that. It's just, you know, it's really hard. And Narvaez probably was the player of the game doing what he did. He picked off the catcher. He picked off Tyler Heineman, who was that batter that you were talking about, the one that saw that up and away fastball. And he was throwing gas. Like he wasn't, you know, barely hitting 90. He's hitting 96, 97 on the gun. He's doing great. To your point, Bo Bichette in the fifth inning got a ground rule double in a right field. So bases loaded, he hits a ground rule double. You're actually down, what, 6-2 at that point if he doesn't get picked off? And yeah, then the doors get blown off. And that does look like an even worse line. He matches, you know, what he had been doing. So he needs to thank Narvi for doing what he did. Because to your point, again, if he doesn't get the out, we don't know if Walker Buehler in this inning can. He's got some demons he's got to work through, because you can't live like this. If I mean, it's got to be killing Walker Buehler. You know he's a gamer. You know he's a grinder. He's been around the block. He knows what he needs to do. And his location and his accuracy are just not there. The control is not there. There's something he's got to work on. And, you know, we were all talking about in the war room about, you know, with Lucas Giolito and a couple other starters, they're throwing more fastballs. They talked about this a couple weeks ago too, because you're trying to, like, you know, kind of dink around these hitters with like off speed stuff, and you're trying to pepper in changeups and curveballs and sliders and throw a fastball as a change of pace pitch. We're the only team in baseball that would have done that. It didn't work. I don't know who thought in their right mind that that was a smart play. So they're throwing more fastballs. If Buehler can gain that command again, he can be an elite number two. But right now, he's not showing two or three or four stuff. I mean, he's your mop-up fifth guy in the rotation, and that's a bit of a surprise given who else is in your rotation. You thought, all right, cool, you got Crochet. Buehler's your two. You lost Nick Pivetta because no one thought he was going to do what he's doing this year, and Pivetta is like turning the clock back several years and pitching masterfully. But we can't win with Buehler on the mound right now unless we score 10. We just can't.
I don't know what you do with Buehler, honestly. I said in the last episode, he's in Corey Kluber territory right now. That's the way things are trending.
Tough. Yeah.
So theoretically, you're one step from being DFA'd. I don't know if Breslow can DFA him. I mean, suddenly his winter looks not so good anymore if that step gets taken. So I think you kind of have to phantom IL him. You've got Crochet, Bayo, and Giolito pitching fairly well in that rotation. And obviously, Crochet and Giolito are. Bayo scuffled a little bit early in his last start, but settled in and recorded a quality start. After that, I mean, I think we had Fitz take a turn. I was trying to pull up the matchups on this one. I know we do have Crochet going on Monday, but I don't know what you do. Hunter Dobbins, I checked for an update for him before we come on. There's been nothing since the announcement of him going on the IL. It's an elbow strain. I would think if he was going to have the dreaded Tommy John, we would probably know that by now, or we would know that he's having consultations about it. So if there's any good news, it's the fact that there's no news on any of that. So hopefully we get him back more sooner than later. Tanner Houck had his second rehab appearance today, and at quick glance, it doesn't look good because he gave up 4 earned runs in 3 2/3 innings, and he's given up 9 earned runs in his 3 outings. But if there is something to be positive about that, at least his outing today, 45 of 64 pitches were strikes. So hopefully they're on the precipice of kind of figuring something out. Mark in the war room was saying that they're tinkering with a sinker ball with him, hoping perhaps that would fix him. To me, they have to figure out the fastball. I mean, that's what's getting crushed every time he goes out. And you look at Giolito, he's only given up, it's either 2 or 4 earned runs in his last 20-something innings, and it's because he's reestablished his fastball.
Yeah.
So this team, the Andrew Bailey program initially was extremely anti-fastball. A lot of guys were only throwing it 1/3 of the time in the first half last year.
Right.
I don't think you can – I don't think there's a world where your entire rotation can get away with not throwing fastballs.
Yeah, it doesn't work. And, you know, you talked about Crochet being the guy that needs to get us back on the right page and stuff. It sucks that it falls on Crochet every single time. Like, there's no other guy that it's like, oh, okay, well, if he doesn't get it, we have another star that could pick us up 100%. We just don't have it. And truth be told, this is going to be such a special reunion with Tito. Tito time is going to be special. I'm really excited to see if they do a welcome back to Fenway, because dude, it's going to be at home. I mean, right before our 3-game set in Washington, we have this 3-game set here, to close out our homestand. And it's tough because you've now lost 7 of your last 8. I don't really have good feels about this series coming up as well. I mean, you're facing, Chase Burns, who's a guy who started off his career. I think he struck out the first six guys he faced in Major League Baseball, which is a great way to go. And then their game three starter, they got Nick Martinez, who had a perfect game slash no hitter going. He allowed one run on one hit, which I don't think was his. I don't recall. I stopped getting the alerts against San Diego. So that's tough. You got Brady Singer as the middle starter for Cincinnati in there as well. And I think that's probably the only guy that you can really guarantee that you're going to shut down and get to. But that's the start that you got Dick Fitz in. You know, you got Bayo game three, you got Crochet game one. This is a dark time in Boston right now. Honestly, you need to, you know, we talked about this before. Like, okay, where is this team going to be, you know, at the end of June? We started off, let's see, 4-4. We won 6 in a row, 6-1, 8-1, 8-7. 9-8. So we've been 9-8 since that 4-4 start. You got one more game for the month of June. There is a chance we don't win tomorrow because we can't win with Crochet. July, we have, let's see, 12 games. If you don't win at least six of those games, you have to be sellers. You have to be sellers. It sucks. And you have to listen to every phone call.
It is going to be interesting. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how Breslow survives the season with having to be sellers and all the controversy and bad optics that have gone along with it. Funny thing that took place. Second inning in the booth, Craig Breslow makes an appearance and he hangs out with Dave O'Brien and Will Middlebrooks. The timing, they did not have him in there with Buehler on the mound. They waited for the offense to come up. Luckily the offense, it wasn't three up, three down. So he had a 7 or 8 minute window in there to answer things. It was all the same political, philosophical stuff. And I mean, Craig Breslow is no Galileo or Aristotle. No. Like, we're not taking anything he says with any value. You have to take it all with a grain of salt, and nothing's materialized here. And it sounds like he's just praying that this team will keep its head up above water till Jordan Hicks comes back, which will probably be this week. He'll slot into the bullpen. Harrison, I don't think he'll be too much further behind, but perhaps that's the answer to Walker Buehler. I mean, maybe Kyle Harrison's the guy. I mean, anybody is better than Walker Buehler right now. So, and here's another nugget I posted on social media. You want to talk about dodging a bullet? Breslow wanted to sign Buehler to a 3-year deal. Buehler said no. You know, he's coming off of a great postseason, probably has a lot of confidence. He wants to bet on himself. So he takes the 1-year deal. And then I asked, who's the dummy? And the answer is both of them. Because Breslow could have got, imagine if the narrative right now is like, oh my God, we have Buehler for 2 more years beyond this. And we don't even know if he can get through this one. And then, so it's just Breslow was luckier than, you know, due to the fact that Buehler was actually dumber than he was.
Well, here's the thing too, Terry. I mean, hindsight 2020, Walker Buehler shuts down the New York Yankees in the World Series. He's on top of the world. He becomes a free agent. The Dodgers say, nope. And we just saw what Nick Pivetta was last year, thrown up on his shoes, a Jason-ism, if I may. You have a choice before the start of this season. Would you take a chance on Walker Buehler, or would you want to continue down the path with what you've seen from Nick Pivetta? Every single person was pumped about Walker Buehler being here in relation to...
Including me.
I was too. I was a pro Buehler. I'm still pro Buehler. I hope he can rectify and change it, get it working again, because I don't want to say, oh man, it's Buehler pitching again. Damn it. Like, this sucks. I don't want to do that. I really don't with him. This isn't like Matt Hall pitching and it's just a nightmare every single time from years ago. Every single time I heard his name getting uttered, it was a disaster. And Buehler, I really like, what if he ends up like dominating in July and August? I mean, it might be too late at that point, because then there's no more pressure, because at that point, there's a really good chance that we're all sellers. We've already gotten rid of more pieces. Toro possibly gone for something. Maybe Bregman's gone. Maybe Duran is gone. Another one of our relievers is gone. Chapman is probably on the list of pieces that are going to be going. If you're here for a 1-year deal, your name's on the short list. That's how it works. You're not here for 2026. There's nothing tying you here. If the Sox can get something out of it, sure, why not? And that's pretty much what's going to happen. So honestly, if you can't win, and I mean win against Colorado, 2 out of 3, or sweep them, forget it. It's just, you have to be realistic here. There are other teams that are retooling and doing whatever it is that they have to do in order to win. What name has been rumored to possibly be traded to Boston, or what rumored name has been tinkered or toyed around with possibly coming to the Red Sox at all? We're not a destination city.
There are no rumors at the moment. And, you know, and I've said over and over again the last week, what other team wants to help the Red Sox?
Right? Zero. Absolutely none.
They love watching the Red Sox burn like the average 5-year-old likes watching fireworks this time of year. That's
pretty much perfect. Yeah.
That's what that is.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't really know where to go with that, but we do have 3 against the Reds, and then next week we do have 3 against the Nationals. Theoretically, you would think that on paper that looks like an easy series, but it's a team that can hit and they can pitch as well. They just haven't put it all together. So I kind of thought they could be like this year. I thought perhaps they could be the Orioles of 2023, just kind of break through a year early, rattle off 94 to 98 wins. But that hasn't happened. And it's probably one of the toughest divisions in baseball, the second toughest. And I said the other night with Nick, this Blue Jays team looks fun. I mean, you've got Vladimir, obviously. I think this is the walk year for Bo Bichette, but he's having a decent year. Springer is having, at least up till now, a better year than the last couple. You know, he's given them a little bit of production. And then you got young guys like Ernie Clement, Barger. And I mean, suddenly it looks like a better, more dynamic team. And they've always had pitching. Their pitching has not been the problem the last few years. So there's a different vibe. They have the second wild card spot right now. They're probably going to be buyers at the deadline. So, you know, that's just one more wild card spot that's going to be harder to get. And I was looking at the wild card standings, and I just don't see anybody not in the race right now really making a run for it. Let's see. I got it up right here. My computer's slow. So,
you got Tampa Bay right now in first, Toronto in second, Seattle's in third. And then right after that, the first team on the outside looking in, you got the Angels, 41-41. They're one game out. You got the Texas Rangers, a half game behind them, so 1.5 out. Then you got the Guardians, 2 under, and they're 2 games out. And then you have the Red Sox, 3 games under, and we're 2.5 out. We're tied with the Twins. The Royals are the only team knocking on the door, but dude, we're the third team out. It's tough. It's really tough.
Yeah. So of those teams, I could see the Royals possibly, you know, getting it back on the tracks and having a decent second half. I mean, they have the talent. I know their ace, Reagans, has been dinged up a little bit. He might be back on the IL with a groin or something. But that's a team that could get it back together, and perhaps the Guardians. They've lost 4 in a row now. They're 2 games under 500. But of all the teams that are under, I mean, they're the only 2 that I can see making a run at it. Seattle has the last spot right now. they're very choky, so they could very well be buyers at the deadline, though. But they're typically not a very good second half team. So I don't know how it's gonna shake out, but I really like what I'm seeing in Toronto right now.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, this was the team that they said they were going to re-sign their big guy. They got Vladdy Guerrero. He's staying there. To your point, again, I sound like a broken record saying that again, third time. Bo Bichette's going to get paid. There's going to be a team that goes out and spends big money for him. I don't think it's going to be the Toronto Blue Jays, and I don't know where his next possible landing spot is. He's kind of had a couple of weird, wonky years. Last year was like an absolute nightmare. Only had 4 home runs in 81 games. That's a far cry from his 29 back in 21. So I don't know where he's potentially going to go, but this really is possibly one of the few years that the Toronto Blue Jays have a shot. Now, you mentioned Addison Barger earlier. He's relatively new. I think this is year 2 for him on the Toronto Blue Jays, but this is a team that's doing everything right now. There's no drama. I'm hearing no garbage, nothing coming from this team of we hate this or we're not happy. You know, even like Springer too, like that he's been, you know, one of the names that has always just kind of floated under the radar. And all these players that left Houston, now they're finding themselves on another team. They're able to do work, do damage. Kyle Tucker, I don't know if this is an actual quote or not from him, but another former Astro, when he got traded to the Cubs, he said, it's nice to play for a team where the wins actually count without an asterisk. All of them are happy to be out of Houston. They're all happy to be out of there. And I think they've got great culture. There's no toxicity happening in Toronto. You know, you don't hear any rumors of Vlad Guerrero trying to leave after signing a crazy contract. All he has to do is play out the deal to next year, and he's already done a better job with the Toronto Blue Jays than the Red Sox did with Rafi Devers.
One thing about Houston, though, they're surging, and they have, the second best record in the American League. Where does that stand? So the third best record in all of Major League Baseball. Only 3 teams have 50 or more wins right now.
Tigers are one. Dodgers.
They both have 52, and the Astros have 50. So,
wow,
it's, you know, they're, I don't think this is the Astros dynasty that's surging, but it's a team that knows how to fill in the gaps and address issues. And so
that's pretty impressive, all things considered, because Yordan Alvarez is not playing baseball for them right now. He's out. So,
How is their pitching staff right now? Obviously, they have Framber Valdez. Hunter Brown, is he having a good season?
He's absolutely having a good season. He's one of the leaders in strikeouts this year, one of your favorite categories. He's got 8-9 wins. I don't think he's hit 10 yet. His whip is under 1. I think he's got a pretty decent ERA. I don't remember what his ERA was, but I mean,
1.74.
That's dumb. That's stupid. You know, like and this is what, year 2 or year 3 for Hunter? I think he was a rookie last year or the year before.
Year before. He scuffled a little bit, but he kind of seems to have it figured out. But yeah, just pitching extremely well. And I think Crochet and Skubal are probably 1 and 2 right now. But Hunter Brown, right, with an epic second half could pull the rug out from under both of them. And I'm just looking down. Framber's having a pretty good year. This is also his walk year, by the way. But he's got a 2.72 ERA, 1.13 whip. And he is striking out just about 1 per inning. Who else is in this rotation? Ryan Gusto, but he's pitching like crap. ERA near 5.
Is McCullers, is he back yet?
Hurt.
Isn't he injured?
Hurt, and he's got a 6.61 ERA.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah, they're relying on 2 guys. They have... You know, they technically have like 2 guys that could close. You have Josh Hader, who signed that crazy contract, and they have another reliever on their team named Brian Abreu. He's also very, very good. The other guys I don't think are anything. Former Red Sox Caleb Wirt is there. So that's fun. That's cute to see his name there. But they made moves during the offseason to help their team. They signed Christian Walker. They got Isaac Paredes over there from, I think it was Chicago, originally from Tampa Bay. So
they're leading the team in home runs, by the way, Paredes.
Like, come on, guys. Like, they're going out there. They're making moves. They're doing what they need to do to be relevant again and or stay relevant. Excuse me. I know I shouldn't say again because they've been, you know, one of the juggernaut teams. And Paredes this year is projected to have his best season since like 2022 or 23. It's been like 2-3 years for him. But he's going to do it again. He's going to hit 30 home runs, going to have probably 95 to 100 RBIs. He'll probably hit, I don't know what his batting average is, 250, 260, something like that. He's not like a crazy base runner either. He doesn't steal bases, but he gets on base. He does his job. So, you know, they're doing it the right way. And we, unfortunately, are still sitting here talking about things that could have gone right and the fact that we traded Rafi Devers. You know, imagine if Devers got traded to Houston. Could you imagine that? Just how much?
Yeah.
Thank God it didn't happen. Thank God. Oh my God.
We could take back Alvarez in that trade. I don't know how long he's going to be out, but yeah. And then Jose Altuve, second on the team with home runs, 13, hitting his normal self, 260 with a 320 on base. Jeremy Pena having the best year of his career, 3.22 batting average, 3.7.
He's out right now.
On base, yeah, he just got hurt in the last handful of days, but
yeah.
11 home runs, 40 driven in. Cam Smith out in right field, Kyle Tucker's replacement, essentially. Only hitting 7 home runs, but batting 276 with a 350 on base.
It's okay. So, it's quality.
Yeah.
It's not bad. And
they have any base stealers? Just Pena and Jake Myers combined.
Yeah, Altuve used to steal bases. He doesn't anymore. He's not fast anymore. He's God, Altuve's been playing for a minute. He's 34, 35 years old, I think. He's older now. He's old.
Yeah. He's old. He's also their left fielder, which I find
crazy.
It is, yeah. but
left field in Houston's a joke. You don't have to really cover that much territory. You know, they have that left field wall is brought in. You could like check swing a home run.
It's the same as Fenway, really.
Our walls, crap ton. Wow, I almost swore. That's wild for me. We have a green monster that's pretty tall. Their wall in left field is not that big. It's really not.
Yeah, but it's the same amount of ground to cover, basically.
Right.
He must not be playing a good left field. He's got a -1.3 defensive WAR. That's borderline horrendous. But yeah. All right, well, we got Crochet tomorrow versus one of their young pitchers.
Chase Burns.
And he's Chase been Burns. Pitching pretty well.
I think he's only pitched once, actually. So he made his debut on Tuesday or Wednesday of this past week, and he started by striking out the first 6 batters he faced. So that's going to be fun. And honestly, they have some guys with pop in their lineup. They also have a guy that can steal second, third, and home in the same inning. So, yeah, Cincinnati's going to be a team to watch. If you don't win the Crochet game, you've lost the series. Because I think we're going to lose game 3, and I hope that we win game 2. I really do.
So you're right. He has only pitched 1 game, but in the minors this season, in 13 starts, Chase Burns has a 1.77 ERA, 89 strikeouts in 66 innings. So the dude can definitely light guys up.
Yeah.
And it seems like they seem to develop those guys quite a bit. I mean, Hunter Green, when he came up, was a monster, had some control issues, but, but still. But anyway, so who are you taking? I might take the Reds in that one.
I don't want to pick against Crochet, but right now my confidence is shattered and I have to go with Chase Burns. It pains me. It pains me because you know how I am about starters that are on the left side. I'm a huge Chris Sale supporter. Everybody knows that. Crochet, I'm the same way. Came from the same team, same situation, got traded. Until the Red Sox can show me that they can do it again, it's going to be really hard to pick them. and against pitchers that can do, and he's a rookie. He could get absolutely tuned, but I'm okay to be wrong on this one.
Well, it helps that he's a righty because he won't at least automatically be in there against Ref Snyder and Romy, who are lefty right. killers at the expense of our prospects. And we'll have Meyer back, so I don't know if that'll help or not. It'll help defensively for sure, but
right,
but we'll see.
Anything else you want to add about that one? Yeah, hopefully greener pastures and better things to come for the Red Sox. That's going to do it for Terry and myself and the Bastards. Everyone have a good one. Take care.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.